For our script reading this morning, let us turn to the first epistle general of John, chapter 4, and we read the verses 7 through 21. 1 John 4. The verses 7 through 21. And there we read God's holy word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon and of the meditations at the table is found in the portion we read, the first epistle general of John, chapter 4, the verses 9 and 10. The verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4, where we read, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved congregation, how are sinners saved? What will give you liberty to attend the Lord's table? In the past week, we have heard about the poet of Psalm 116 who was in an awful plight. The poet let us know that he is faced with the awful reality of death. And to the poet, death means to be no longer under God's favor. The cords of death hold him down. And then he called upon the name of the Lord. And the miracle of the gospel is that the Lord heard. He inclined his ear to the poet and delivered him, not because of the poet, but because God is gracious, righteous, and merciful. The poet is saved by God's sovereign love. God is the source of salvation. Since God is love, sinners can be saved And all those who will be saved are loved by the Lord with an everlasting love. It is particularly this love of which the Apostle John has written in his Gospel and Epistles. No less than 30 times we read the word love or beloved in his first general epistle. And on the first Lord's Day of Advent, we ask the question, what shows God to be the source of love? And we find the answer in our text. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The coming of the Lord Jesus in this world manifests God's love. We write above the sermon, God's love manifested. First of all, the source of love. Secondly, the gift of love. And thirdly, the fruit of love. God's love manifested, the source of love, the gift of love, and the fruit of love. This morning we want to listen to the Epistle General of the Apostle John. He is known as the Apostle of Love. John refers to himself in his Gospel as the Apostle whom Jesus loved. And John knew by faith that the Lord Jesus loved him. About this love, John has written many things. Throughout his Gospel and Epistles, he reveals plainly that God is the source of love. What manifests the love of God? Verse 9 begins with the words, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." In this. And this indicates several things. Firstly, that the love of God is not awakened by man. This love comes from God and is awakened, so to speak, by God's self. This is obvious if we pay attention to the object of God's love. God's love goes out to this world. God so loved this world. God has sent his Son into this world. And what is meant by the world? It is a negative meaning. Every time we read in the Scripture that God has sent his Son into this world, it means the wicked world, the godless world. The world is opposed to God like darkness is the opposite of light. You cannot imagine a bigger contrast. The holy and sovereign God has created the earth well, without sin. The world, however, has turned away from its creator. It became an enemy of God when Adam and Eve fell. But our text proclaims that God has manifested, demonstrated his love by sending his Son into this world. God's love flows forth to this world, the world that is lost, the world in wickedness. The world contains a people who are in darkness. It is a world in the midst of death. God's love goes out toward this world. In this world, he seeks lost sinners in order to save them. When God pours out his love into your heart, you begin to recognize yourself as a worldling, as someone who is primarily concerned with worldly matters and material things. You recognize yourself as someone who lives in the darkness of this world, far from God. And then you acknowledge, I lie in the midst of death. Do you recognize this? Who are you? Do you confess the world? That is me. The wicked world is in my heart. And by nature, I am an enemy of God. I am a guilty, wretched sinner. I am a worldling. When you know something of this humbling teaching, it is a miracle to you that God loves this world. God manifests His love toward people who sin and go astray. He has love toward them, not because of any reason that can be found in man, not because they stir up some compassion from the Lord. People cannot awaken any compassion from the Lord. No, God Himself is the source of love. His love is so great that He manifests His love toward the world that never would ask for His love. What else does manifest God's love? That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. His only begotten Son. This expression has various meanings. First of all, that the only begotten Son is God's much beloved Son, because it is His only begotten Son. He loves Him so much. He has no other son. This is what we hear God say Himself. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. My beloved Son. This is My only begotten Son. And the expression, the only begotten Son, also means that He is very special. He is God's only begotten Son in a special manner. The Son is generated from eternity. He is God's everlasting Son. The Father and the Son perfectly love each other. Who is able to measure the love that includes the expression only begotten? It is about God. It is about God's essence. The love of His essence cannot possibly be put into words. We can only stammer about it. The expression, the only begotten Son, means that He is the Son whom the Father loves very much, since He is His only Son. And we can only use human words to express the meaning of it. And if we try to express something of this love in words, we might say that God loves His Son with all the love of His heart. And God has sent His Son into the world, to this hostile world. God has sent His only begotten Son. God has torn His Son from His Father's heart. He has sent His Son away. The Son left heaven in order to be born in a hostile world, being laid in a manger. He was sent away in order to suffer and die. God has sent His beloved Son into this world in order that He would die on the cross. He was sent not to condemn the world, but to save it. He was sent. This emphasizes God's initiative. This emphasizes God's initiative to love. God's love reaches out toward enemies. He so loved this world. The Father has given all He had to a wicked world, to sinners. How great is God's love to reconcile ungodly people? Well, when you perceive this, you start wondering over this miracle. It amazes you how much love has God for his people. He has given his beloved son. He has sent him away into the world. Kolbrugge says somewhere, it seems that God loved sinners more than his beloved son, because he sacrificed his beloved son for sinners. God has sent his son. It evidences the love of the Father. It also manifests something of the love of the Son, who is of one essence with the Father. That God has sent his Son does not mean that the Son was not involved in this mission. No, the Son perfectly agrees with his Father. And the Council of Peace in eternity, they have deliberated over the way God's people would be saved. And the Son was willing to be sent by the Father. He wholeheartedly agreed. He has said to his Father, "Send me, lo, I come to do thy will." God has sent his Son in accordance with his eternal counsel. The Son was willing to be sent. And we must never forget this aspect of Advent. The Son was sent by the Father, and the Son was willing to be sent. It was his heart's desire to save God's people by becoming man like you and me. He has become very man. He was most willing to bow under Father's holy justice, since he so much loves his Father's righteousness. He was very willing to undergo the deepest sufferings. He died for abominable sinners because he loved them with an everlasting love. And isn't that manifested this morning in the broken bread and the poured out wine? It points to the love of God the Father. For he has sent his Son into this world. It points to the willingness of the Son to be sent, to be laid in a manger, to suffer and to die, and to give his life a ransom for many. Have you ever experience something of this miracle in your own heart? Then you melt under so much love towards you. Incomprehensible love, unsearchable love. And you cannot fathom the miracle that the Lord Jesus was willing to be sent for enemies. That he has borne God's wrath against sin, wrath which I deserve. Jesus Christ was willing to be a mediator for poor sinners. He became surety for them. And when you observe these things by faith under the tokens of bread and wine, your heart will undoubtedly break again. So much love. When you look at self, you have abundant reasons to humble yourself before the Lord. Just consider for a while who you are before him. What did your week of preparation look like? Don't you have many reasons to humble yourself before the Lord? Jesus Christ was willing to be sent. And compare this with your unwillingness to serve the Lord. Your hard heart your folly, your unbelief, your selfishness, that all does not change the love of the Lord Jesus toward sinners. He manifests His love toward them in order to make reconciliation for enemies. Tell me, do you know this heartbreaking love of the Lord? If so, you will agree with me that the Lord is most attractive to you. In a way, you feel the drawing love from this much beloved Son, Jesus Christ. He attracts by His willingness to be sent by His Father. He captivates by His willingness to become man and to be laid in a manger. He endears you by His broken body and shed blood. All His people know something of His charm. Oh, when they receive a renewed sight of the Lord Jesus, they feel compelled to exclaim, "He is altogether lovely." And now we are ready to the close of verse 9, that we might live through Him. To live through Him means, firstly, that you come to Him with in desperate need and guilt to the Lord Jesus. By faith you discover that there is forgiveness of sin with Him. His righteousness perfectly fits with you, the chief sinner. Oh, what a miracle! It is by His grace that you begin to live through the Lord Jesus. Life really begins to live through Him. To live through Him is the purpose of God's love. And for that purpose, God has humbled His Son by sending Him into this world, so that you, blind as you are, shall live through Him. How do you live through Him? Well, by faith alone. Because by faith you discover something of the love of God manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that you do not find life in yourself. You find nothing wherewith you can stand before God. Your heart is broken under the love of God. You become poor before Him in your awful plight. And everything of yourself is broken down. You melt under the love that God manifested, that God manifests by His beloved Son. And one thing remains. You cannot but take refuge to the Lord Jesus. He is your only hope. He is the one in which the Lord has manifested His love toward sinners. To whom else can you take refuge when you discover your unworthiness? Only in Christ, by whom God has revealed His love. To live through Him. What kind of life is this? It is a life in blessedness. It is eternal life. This life has its beginning here below. It is redemption from sin and guilt. It means that you can stand before Him in righteousness, since the Spirit has imputed the righteousness of Christ by the instrument of faith. It is a life that is no more under the dominion of sin, but under the dominion Christ's grace. It is a life that is merited by the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed sin and Satan, redeemed by paying the penalty for His people. So it is a life that is merited by the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed by paying the penalty for his people. He is life and has broken the power of sin and Satan. He has overcome all the enemies of God. He has broken the power of sin and death when he was under the flames of God's wrath. He has satisfied God's wrath and cursed death from the inside, and crushed death from the inside. By his accomplished work, he manifests God's love and makes room in sinners' hearts for God's love. Then sinners will live through Christ and Christ alone. To live through Christ means that I live from the source of love, God, through Jesus Christ. Does that mean that God's children are redeemed from all lovelessness? In a way, they are. Spiritual life means that a new principle has been planted in me. In the way of regeneration, repentance, and faith, the Spirit renews man. By the Spirit, you put on the new man. The new man knows of ardent love to God. But there is also the old man remaining in his people. The old man does not love the Lord. And the old man is at enmity to God. By the power of Christ, I need to mortify the old man, which is a lifelong struggle. That means that in this lifetime, God's people still discover so much lovelessness in their lives. Sin so easily appeals to you. And before you know it, you fall into sin. Before you know it, love grows cold because the old man tries to dominate again. But a new man cannot stand this. And for that reason, God's people regret the successes of the old man. Do you know why? Because they live through Christ. Through the love of God, they hate sin in principle and desire to abide more and more in Christ. You desire to triumph in the new man. And this is reality from God's perspective. But this is not always the experience of God's people. And therefore, they need to exercise faith by using the means of grace. The Lord is so patient with his people. He is long-suffering and gracious to them. Time and again, he teaches you in the way of word and spirit to live through Christ, so that his gracious dominion radiates your entire life, so that your life manifests his love to you. And what will be your confession then, time and again? That you cannot do anything without the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing, says the Lord Jesus. And you look forward to a perfect life, to live through Christ alone. And you learn to pray, I cannot continue without thee. I cannot live without thee. And the words through him are increasingly valuable to you. To live through him means to neglect self, to neglect all that I perform by myself. He is so honorable. He is so lovable. He is so necessary and so suitable. To live through him means that you learn to hide yourself in him, though you have forfeited it all. By trusting in the Lord, you experience by faith that we might live through Him. Then you experience something of the joy of His love. You have good thoughts of God. Yes, loving thoughts of God and of His Son. And the Lord invites those who have no love of their own making, but who personally know of the love that is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have learned to seek and find life through the Lord Jesus Christ are welcomed. It pleases the Lord to renew and to strengthen life through the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is love. Amen.